You're tuned into Desperate, a podcast where two unwed women take a walk down Wisteria Lane to visit ABC's critically acclaimed show, Desperate Housewives. Retire your apron, kick off your heels, and sit back. Hit it, girls!
Welcome to Desperate. We've missed you. We are back.
Yes, we are back and better than ever.
We took quite a break, a summer vacation, you could call it. Mm-hmm. We lived our lives a bit. We had to take a break.
Yeah, summer hiatus, just like the show does.
Yeah, this is season two for us and for Desperate Housewives. Mm-hmm. But we're definitely thrilled. We had our little recap episode where I think we could forgo the recap today. Like, we'll give you an overview of season one. We'll give you the main points, the beginning, yeah, before our desperate deed. But yeah, if you really want the recap, go to our recap episode.
Season one is pretty stellar television, especially for like a first season of a show.
There's a charity fashion show. There's murder, mystery, mm-hmm, affairs with young men who turn 18 eventually. So I guess it's legal, but it's
the ages, just so you know, this season, they fuck up the ages of the kids
they
even
do?
More. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. There's one specifically that I cannot wait for it to happen because you're going to be so confused. Like, it's going to be really confusing, actually.
Yeah. So we've had a great time doing that. But in case you're new around here, you're just starting on season two. I'm Julia.
And I'm Jordan.
We are big Desperate Housewives fans. Now, mm-hmm, I can say that because I watched season one at least.
Yeah, now you're like a fan.
But Jordan has watched all of the episodes every season.
More than once.
More than once.
Never with this depth of like analysis, but like definitely watched it like a lot growing up.
You're like, I'm having new realizations.
Yeah. I remember like I specifically got Hulu when it first was like a thing because Desperate Housewives was on it.
Oh.
And me and my friend, like, she had never seen it when we were young. And so I
got
her.
You're like introducing so many people.
Oh yeah, this is like my new, this should be my job actually. Weird grassroots marketing for Desperate Housewives.
You like put on your LinkedIn like Desperate Housewives super fan.
Yeah.
Expert.
For real though.
It's my hobby. It's kind of my hobby.
Yeah, no, I mean, at this point it is.
Yeah, I have just started watching season one. Is all I've watched. Jordan and I are not housewives. We're cat ladies.
We are cat ladies.
That. I feel like since getting a cat, I definitely tracked cats.
Yeah.
Like,
know.
Yeah, I found some on the street that just let me pet them now. And I'm like, this is maybe dangerous.
I think they think you're a sucker. They smell that you have a cat. They're like, oh, yeah, she'll be nice.
My cat is currently on my lap.
Salem is now a major part of this. She should be our like podcast mascot.
I hit her head like 10 minutes ago.
You know what we should get her though?
A helmet?
Yes. And on that helmet, we should put like a Brie style wig.
Yes.
And get her a little apron and she can be our mascot.
Yes.
I think that would be super cute.
I have like gone down like quite a rabbit hole of like being a cat owner. Like, I'm no longer like, I used to laugh when people like get pictures of their pets drawn or like dress them up, but like I literally think of all that shit now.
Oh no, Andrew and I found really cute Christmas onesies and they make the same onesies for pets. Like, they make the same fabric. So we're like, fuck it. That's our Christmas photo this year. We're getting them. We're doing
it. Oh yeah, you know my Christmas photo is gonna be me and my cat.
Yeah.
Like, yes, I'm not foreseeing anything changing my life too much.
Like, no, there's actually, okay, I hate that I even know this. This is how you know we're like obsessed with our pets, but we're like that weird generation that treats our pets like children. And I like Googled like family pajama sets, and there are so many that include pet ones now because that's like a thing.
Because we don't have children anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that either. That's not really in either of our plans. Mm-mm. None of us. We've Mm-mm. talked in depth. We've mm-hmm. been friends for years. I don't think either of us were like, I definitely want to be a mother. We're just not motherly, maternal.
No. I like that my cat can like take care of itself if I'm not home during the day. Like, can't do that with a kid.
I know. I have fake plants. Everything in this apartment is fake besides the cat. So we're not really housewife types. I recently have been cooking for my friend, but it's been very minimal. He's turning vegetarian, so I've cooked like a few dishes.
Wow.
That's the most maternal I've gotten.
Cooking still eludes me.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
We don't cook. We don't clean. I don't know the next line of the Megan Thee Stallion song.
But let me tell you, I got this ring.
Yeah, let me. Yeah.
That's how it goes.
That's a Susan vibe. But
oh,
yeah.
Oh my God, yes, that is a Susan vibe. Maybe that's why I relate to Susan, because I fall down a lot and can't cook.
Yeah. If you haven't watched season one, we highly recommend it, but you can definitely jump into season two and you might be a bit confused here and there. Like we've said, we've been watching on Hulu. You can watch on Amazon Prime as well.
Yeah.
And other than that, we do post on our Instagram mostly. We tweet every episode. Mm-hmm. Follow us, like things. If you leave a weird review, if you leave like less than 5 stars, leave a review with it, because we've gotten like 3-star reviews or whatever, and like nobody's saying what they hate or like. So.
Yeah. And I also think like if something on our show happens that you don't like, feel free to like message us and like bring it up, bring it to our attention.
Come for us.
Yeah.
Come for us if we face
Give us the opportunity though to like maybe learn, you know, if we say something wrong or say something that, you know, offhanded that doesn't come across the way people want it to.
Yeah.
Just so you guys know, like, we're very chill, open people. Like, we are open to criticism, and we'd prefer you do it where we have an opportunity to actually, like, make something better.
Yeah.
So if we say something that upsets you, don't just go give us a 1-star. Please talk to us.
Yeah, like, I know. The 1-star doesn't help us.
No. Like, if anything, that just makes us feel frustrated. So,
I'm talk to us. Jordan, I'm like, there's a 1-star and I have no idea why.
Yeah.
I'm
so
did I do something to somebody lately?
Yeah, no. And obviously, like, feel free to give us, like, real criticism. But, you know, it'd just be nice if we didn't see, sham reviews before we have a chance.
Yeah,
but anyway.
Help us out.
We want fan engagement.
Help a sister out.
Yeah.
We love finding new fans. We love meeting old fans. This is really just a fan podcast.
And we know this show touches on like topics sometimes that can be like, especially if it's time, the way the show even would handle things.
God.
So yeah, we just want to, or I just wanted to throw that out there really quick. But
yeah, you might see some content that's very 2006, like, or whatever. You know, it wasn't maybe politically correct, as you see in every show from the early 2000s. So that's not on us. But we will comment. We'll tell it like it is. And if you're new around here, or if you're coming back, no, my cat's leaving me. Stay.
sorry. You're stuck there, Salem.
I'm not attached. It's fine. If you're new around here, this is how it usually works. We'll give you a recap of the former episode so that you're not completely lost. Then we do a desperate deed, which is a deed from our own life, reality media, like somewhere in the world that we find desperate and why, just to like get us warmed up. Then we go into our full review of the current episode. And after that, we do some ratings on a 1 to 5 Apple scale of how we thought it measured up. We choose a housewife of the week, which now we have a bit of a rubric.
Mm-hmm.
All right, my cat's done. Yeah.
Bye, Salem.
She was like, I don't like that. And then we also do a fuck, marry, kill, which happens to be the best favorite part.
Yeah.
And if you hear the cat toys, she's just tired of me.
Yeah.
And yeah, so we do a fuck, marry, kill from the characters in that episode. They don't always have to be the prominent characters. They can be supporting characters. They can be whoever. There's no rules with that one. And we'd love to hear your fuck, marry, kills. We'd love to hear your housewives of the week. We like hearing from you guys. Season one, where we just left off, we might as well just take you through when you watch the episode. There's like previously on Desperate Housewives.
Mm-hmm.
And Jordan and I talked about this, how the music was very off tone for everything that we landed on.
Yep.
Where we landed was Susan was being held at gunpoint.
Yes.
Like by Zach. And the music's like,
by a teenager.
And they're like, Susan was like caught up. And then Bree's husband, Rex, just died after forgiving her for literally everything she's ever done wrong. It's tragic.
Brutal.
And the music was still yet like, Lynette and Tom should have gotten divorced, but they didn't.
That's a reoccurring theme on the show.
Yeah. Because Susan got him fired. Well, she didn't even get him fired. He quit to be a stay-at-home dad. And now he's forcing Lynette to go back to work.
Because he's a big baby.
Yeah, but also she did some fucked up shit.
She did. But I find his answer to be like, I'm not going to work. You are.
When he's playing air hockey. Like, he's not even at the bar.
I just feel like they're both like extremely like stubborn. Emotionally immature in very different ways.
Very stubborn.
Yeah.
So that's where they left off. Gabby is my favorite so far. John, like, dropped some knowledge on Carlos. He's like, I fucked your wife 3 times a week, every week for the past however long.
In the middle of court.
Yeah, in the middle of court, a court hearing that Carlos is on trial for a hate crime, which happened twice. Like, he committed 2 hate crimes on accident.
Truly on accident, which, like, I didn't think that was possible, but the context on these shows, I'm like, yeah, I guess.
Like, you're on a date with a guy, and he's like, I mean, it wasn't, like, on purpose, but, like, I have committed 2 hate crimes. You're like, wait, what?
Yeah, no.
How? I'm like, I feel like the second, you have to know, like, what you're doing. But, so that's what happened there. So that's where we left off last season. We find out that Mary Alice Young killed this chick that Mike was once involved with, Deidre, and she had a baby who happened to be Zach Young. Mm-hmm. Zach is not actually the biological child of Mary Alice, and Paul is off in the desert somewhere. We don't know where the fuck he is.
Yeah, he got left
in the desert by Mike, and that was a main mystery of last season. It's been solved.
Yeah.
And then a new mystery is that these random people moved in.
Okay, yes, Gabby is technically a person of color, but let's be real. They only make her a person of color when they want to lean into some Hispanic stereotype. So, like, they're truly, I feel like, the first people of color we've really seen on the show.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting.
Yes. The people who have been are African American. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see if they do something with that.
Yeah.
Doubtful, but it's interesting. You have a little smirk, like, you know what's.
I mean, obviously, I know it's to come.
Okay.
But as fans of Desperate Housewives know, this season is kind of known for being a weird one. Like, not weird in the sense of, like, jumping the shark. They just clearly lost some direction. But, like, it also has some of the best episodes. So it's, like, a really mixed bag of what you get.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited for you to watch it. I've actually been, like, there are certain things that I'm excited for us to get to.
You think about it, like, at night sometimes. You're like, can't wait for Julia to watch that.
But, like, for example, like, when Andrew, like, he is, like, revealed to be gay.
Yeah. Or, like, that was a big one.
That was a big one.
Because I didn't have any idea, and I, like, made a bunch of jokes about it. Yeah. Like, about him being, like, too, like, mask, like, him being, like I wear pink, but I'm not gay. Like, yeah. I made a joke like that. He would say something like that.
Yeah, and he totally would.
Yeah, but before he came out. But he hasn't really, well, I guess he came out with his parents.
He, like, half came out. He's, like, saying he's not, but, like, anyway.
Can't wait for more on that.
Yeah, and then, like, Rex dying, that was a big one. I was like, fuck. Because the whole season, like, we talked a lot about Rex, so it was kind of, like, that was a big thing that they just killed off one of the main.
I was all like, I think I even said, I wish Rex would die as a character. One of us said that.
Yeah. And then season two, just, like, the whole of season two, I'm excited to get your take on. Because, like, you only have the first season to compare it to.
Yeah.
Whereas I can rank it among the 8 seasons. I'm just curious to see, like, what you think. So I'm happy we're here. I'm happy we're finally here.
We're out here. We're back from summer vacay. Mm-hmm. We are pre-recording, so this will probably be released around the end of October. Yeah. So if we talk about any certain events, like, in life, it might be a bit outdated by the time you hear, just a forewarning. But yeah, well, that's kind of where we were at with season one, those couple key ending points. With that, we could just go to our desperate deeds.
Okay. You can go first.
I'm like laugh crying about this all day. I did something last night that I don't even know how to feel about it right now. Like, I don't even know. Because the response was unprecedented. So, me and my new suitor were, like, making out a bit. And then, like, it kind of just stopped abruptly. We were trying to watch the show, but, like, half watching, like, mostly cuddling, like. And I'm trying to, like, get places physically. I'm trying to, like, figure out, get a feel. And I feel really comfortable with him. And I guess, like, maybe I've done this in other, like, relationships, like, maybe not even jokingly, but, like, his hand was, like, near my mouth, and I just, like, I, like, sucked on his finger. And I was like, this is going to be like initiatory. Like, this is initiative. Like,
yeah.
This is a clear sign that I want to do something. I don't think there's a clearer sign. And he was like, what are you doing?
No, he did not.
Yes.
Did you leave? Like, did you burn the apartment down and leave? No evidence. No, he did not.
Yes. I literally sucked on his finger. Like, just a, like, what? Like, not, I didn't do it for, like, 5 minutes. Like, I just did, like, a cool, like, a sexy, like, thing. Like, I thought it was sexy. Am I confused?
No.
Like, I thought it was sexy. I thought he was going to be, like, turned on by it.
Okay, Julia, just to make you feel better, sorry, Andrew. I do that to Andrew sometimes, and it turns him on. Like, that's a norm. That should be what
happened. I was like, he's
a... Now I'm like, wait, are me and Andrew weird? Because I'm like, wait.
I'm like, I've done this before. I'm like, what the fuck? He literally was like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, I just thought it. I literally said, like, I just thought it was funny. Like, I thought I would do it. And then we just, like, laughed and, like, kept watching the movie. And I was, like, mortified.
I don't know what I would do.
I've been, like, thinking about it all day, like, laughing at myself because it was a bit funny. But I'm also, like, that was, like, really a rejection. And yeah. I was desperate. I think it was so desperate. And I'm never doing it again. I'm never sucking this guy's finger again.
Did we tell the Vegas story about the photograph?
No.
On this podcast yet?
I don't think so. Wait, yeah, on the last recap, on the recap when we did.
About the photo?
Yeah, where the guy was like...
This reminds me of that. Because, like, I feel like I never hear...
Like, well, you took a photo of us? And he was like, no.
Like, I never...
Or the guy that I was, like, rescheduling a date with, like, last minute. And I was like, hey, like, super sorry. I totally get if you don't want to hang out again. I know it's, like, a last minute reschedule. But, like, I'd love to meet up another time, just not tonight. And he was like... No worries, but no thanks. I'm like, what the fuck?
Dude, I feel like you're the only person I hear about where shit like that happens, like, so blunt.
Where I suck a finger and the guy says, what are you doing? After we made out, like, multiple, like, this is not our first date. It wasn't, like, a first date.
Even if he thought it was, like, strange, maybe, like, what do you mean, what are you doing? Like, doing something sex, like, it's not that, like, could he not have just kept that question to himself and figured it out?
What are you doing? As my, like, finger is, like, near my mouth. His finger is, like, fresh out my mouth.
You're like, oh, I'm just taste testing you? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, so that's where I'm at, like, currently.
That is true.
I'm currently desperate where I'm sucking some dude's finger and, like, getting a terrible response.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, so have you been?
Okay, I actually just thought of a desperate deed, and it's not even mine, and I'm about to shame some girl, and I feel bad. Not shame her, but... She doesn't know. She probably doesn't listen. When we were, so my boyfriend and I recently went to Life is Beautiful. And you know that feeling when you're at, like, a festival or a concert or, like, out at a club and you really have to fucking pee?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, fuck, like, I need to get to a bathroom or find some dark corner in an alleyway.
I've never gone there, but that's, yeah.
But, like, so... We're at this, like, club after the festival. It's, like, on our walk back to our hotel. We stopped at this club because it looked cool and it kind of sucked. But we went in. I'm like, well, I got to pee anyway. I go into the bathroom and there's, like, this girl who, like, busted past me in there. So I was kind of like, oh, shit, she really needs it.
All you, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, all the stalls were full. So she and I are, like, standing there and, like, this chick just started pissing herself.
She peed her pants?
Yes. Like, all over the floor. Like, right next to me. I couldn't even believe what was happening at first. Because yeah. I was like, I heard the sound, you know, of, like, it hitting the ground.
Around.
And I'm like, so then I feel bad. I'm like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. I don't want her to, like, feel, she probably already is mortified. Like, the last thing I need to do is make it worse. So I, like, wouldn't, like, acknowledge it. And, like,
you ignored.
I just kind of, like, I looked at her, and she just kind of, like, looked at me and then looked away, and I was like, okay. She just stood there. Like, she didn't say or do any. It was, like, the most bizarre. She must have been on something. And then she comes out of the bathroom, and I'm, like, standing with, like, my boyfriend over and, like, and, you know, like, normal people. And she's, like, trying to tell her friend she wants to leave, and they're like, no. So they made her fucking...
I would have been like, I peed my pants and we have to go.
Yes! This poor girl. I have
she
never...
Didn't even did she tell them she peed her pants? Or?
I don't know, but we definitely saw, like... It's like we couldn't hear exactly what they were saying, but we could make out what was happening.
Yeah.
No.
And like, this, no.
I felt so bad for her. You couldn't see anything because it was, like, super dark, and she had, like, black shorts on with, yeah, like, little fishnets. But I was just like, I don't... Oh, my God. Like, I still am, like, in shock the way this girl just casually fucking pissed
she
herself.
She must have been so drunk or something, like...
That's what's weird is, like, I thought maybe she was, but she seemed, like, very stoic and,
like, Peter, maybe she just, I don't know. That's
they had drains on the floor in the bathroom, so clearly like, this must happen.
Like, it was pure luck, but...
I couldn't even believe it. But that was, that's not my desperate deed, but that might be the most desperate bathroom situation.
Okay, the desperate part is her being like, we need to go. And her friends are like, no.
No, her friends are fucking dicks for that shit. I was like, if I were her, yeah, I would have left. I would have been like, I'm going home.
But then you have like the shame of walking through the streets of Vegas with like your pissed pants. But Vegas has seen worse.
Oh my God. Like, they see worse every night.
Yeah.
But it was just like, I've never seen that before. No. Most girls, I feel like, okay, if you really have to pee or whatever, okay, at least find something to sit behind or whatever. Like, yeah. Oh my God, I felt so bad
I've heard
for her.
Of like moms, like after you have a baby, your bladder's not kicking the way it used to.
Yeah.
Like, so I've heard of one of my aunt's friends, like they went jogging together. She's like, I have to pee. And all the girls were like, well, there's nowhere to go. And she's like, there's like a bush. But then she's like, never mind. It happened. But she's like, I guess sometimes your bladder's just that messed up after a baby.
Yet another reason.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm not going to say if you guys want any more.
I'm like, I don't need to piss myself. So.
Just jogging with my friends, like wearing a diaper all the time. A diaper at a festival isn't a bad idea, though.
Or like those like super thick absorbent pads at least.
Oh, yeah.
Like the really thick ones.
Where it looks like you have a cushion. Like,
yes. That way you don't have to do the full diaper. But yeah. Like if I was wearing like a bodysuit or something that was hard to get off, I would consider wearing like at least something.
Yeah.
Because it's like those bathrooms, sometimes it's insane trying to get into a bathroom.
There's a whole set doing that.
Yes. So. And if you're like towards the front, you don't want to lose it because there's no way you're going to get back there and find your people. Watching so many people like be up to the front and trying to like get their friends to them was like the most chaotic.
No,
like,
it sucks.
I almost wanted to be like, look, you should have come up here together.
Your friend. They're yeah. Done. They're not invited anymore up here.
Yeah.
They didn't come with you in the first place.
They should have come when everybody else did.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Poor girl.
Yeah. That R. was R. unfortunate.
Yeah. Well, my advice is don't suck a finger.
Mm-hmm.
I was confident about it too. I was really confident. It wasn't the lack of confidence, but just don't do it. It was desperate. Wear a pad at a festival. Those are the morals.
And find friends that'll like that'll agree to leave.
Yeah,
if you pee yourself.
Your friends should be better than that.
Like, Julia, if you ever pee yourself, I promise you.
I promise we're leaving.
We're doing whatever you want to do after that.
Yeah. Well, we hope you're warmed up for some desperate acts here. We're going to be right back with our review. And you can go watch the episode and then join us.
Buckle up, folks.
Buckle up. Susan learns Mike's real connection to Zach. She decides it's a deal breaker. Gabby needs to prove to Carlos who the father of her child is. She goes to the greatest lengths to do so. Lynette returns to work, but feels her former life as a stay-at-home mom is haunting her. Bree doesn't have time to grieve when Rex's mother comes to town. What I'm wondering is we've talked about it in the first season, but I'm getting the gist that Mary Alice Young is going to narrate the entire series.
Except for two episodes.
But I guess I can't ask this question. We don't talk much about Mary Alice Young at this point. Last season, every episode was like, Mary Alice Young, the mystery. What's happening? Why did she kill herself? Now we're moving on. So I'm like, is it relevant to even have Mary Alice Young narrate at this point?
Yes, in that, like, I think she's like a good third party narrator.
Mm-hmm.
And now going forward, because it's not about her. So she gets to like narrate without like, I don't know. That's a really good question. But I honestly, I've never really questioned it before. So now I'm like rethinking everything I've ever thought about the show.
I'm glad we can make you think here.
Yeah. I think like, I don't know. I like it because she does know all the characters. So like, she's like kind of like the tie between the four main ladies. And I do think that she, like her death is kind of what brought them all closer together.
Okay.
So I would say like in a way, and her suicide does come back in the sense of like how it affects these women. Like we're not done with those moments like where Lynette, like, you know, when she was like high on Adderall or whatever.
I hope that happens again.
Like stuff like that where like the concept of suicide like kind of haunts them in a way.
Yeah.
And I think she's a good representation of a desperate woman who's put herself in a position where she, the only way she saw it was to kill herself. That's kind of a reoccurring theme throughout the show.
Yeah.
Like the women keep kind of putting themselves in like weird ass situations where they're desperate as fuck. And so they like reminisce about Mary Alice in that sense.
Oh, okay.
If that makes sense. So in a way she like speaks for desperate women.
Oh, speaking for me. Yeah. Speaking for me and you and all that.
Yeah,
other
no, for real. So like, I almost like it better when it's not about her.
Okay.
Because she's a more like pulled
she's the
back.
Glue.
She's like what gets it going.
She's the catalyst.
But yeah. She's just kind of like this cool, like overseeing. It's like she oversees the ladies, doesn't help them in any way, but
yeah.
She watches.
She watches. She's omnipresent.
But yeah, there's only two episodes that she doesn't narrate.
Okay. Can't wait till we get there.
Yeah. So that'll be cool when that eventually
I thought
happens.
We were going to come in hot with Rex narrating. I thought that would be a good one because he just died. So
yeah.
I wanted him to come in with some hot takes. Be like, I saw that Bree really loved me.
There is another character death, and they do narrate the next episode. Okay. Uh-huh. So that does happen, but not with Rex.
Okay. Well, we come in with Mary Alice Young VO, per usual, killing it, killing the game with her beautiful voice.
Yep.
And we talk about Ida Greenberg. We talked about her like once or twice last season. She's this little old lady, and little did we know last season that she had an alcohol problem.
Yeah.
So they're like, Ida Greenberg loves her alcohol. Everybody had seen her drunk at the sewing bee, which I was like, so middle America, that activity. The DMV, so LA, such an LA activity. The DMV at church. She tried to stop but couldn't. And then like one night she asked God to quench her never-ending thirst. We come zoom in on Mike's truck rolling into the driveway where we have left Susan and Zach.
In the clutches of Zach Young.
Zach Young holding her at gunpoint and... Basically, we see what goes on inside. Susan is still, she's frozen. She's frozen like a wax figure at the table. Mm-hmm. Mike walks in, makes eye contact. Zach cocks that gun. And Bongo is like losing his mind, not protecting anybody, but just barking.
Yeah.
So what a waste of a dog. So he points the gun at Mike, waits too long, doesn't shoot. Susan's like, no, and football tackles Zach. And then grabs the gun. And I'm like, Susan, nobody gave you permission to use that. I don't trust you.
Mm-mm.
She is like holding, like, no, Susan can't be trusted with that gun.
Not at all.
And then Bongo bites her pant leg and she shoots through the window and hits Ida Greenberg's bottle. Because Ida Greenberg, also, let's just talk about what a bad bitch she is. She's out roaming the streets in the middle of the night with like a bottle of bourbon. Just sipping.
Me when I'm retired.
She's literally wandering like this withered old lady.
Hell yeah.
And it shoots the bottle. And then Mary Alice Young is like, God works in mysterious ways sometimes. And Zach runs away.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're left off.
Yeah. So they kind of wrap up that last bit from the last season.
Then we find out that a year has passed.
No, a year since...
A year since the death of Mary Alice.
Yeah.
Sorry, not a year has passed since that moment.
Yeah.
Kids had to learn new games, new neighbors had moved in, and old houses were being rebuilt. Cute Edie in a terrible outfit. And then fresh tragedies had occurred, and a widow was getting ready to tell her friends of her husband's passing. So we see Bree making phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
We could probably start with Bree's storyline, I guess. This will kind of flow into there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my favorite of the episode, but...
Felt a bit slow to get moving this episode.
Andrew has some peak moments for me.
Andrew definitely has some peak moments, and we get to meet the lovely mother of Rex.
Mother of Rex.
Mother Rex.
So there's some good moments. Yeah. But
Phyllis Vandekamp shows up to crash Bree's grief party. Basically, we get a nice gauge on her relationship with her mother-in-law, which is not good.
From the moment that she walks in, because I think the girls are together. First, they're like talking about Rex, and they're like, thought he was going to be fine. His heart gave out. Let's go check on Bree. And then they go over there, and she's like getting rid of this soy milk.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, Rex is gone, and he's the only one who likes this, which is like
a bit savage,
a little bit like repressed maybe. Like,
yeah,
are you okay? And she's like, I can't afford to break down right now. And I was like, this is the Monday vibe all around. Like, I really can't afford to lose it, is what she says, or something like that. And then that's when Mama Rex rolls in sobbing.
Yeah,
you see like the ultimate repression of grief, and then you see the ultimate like flow of grief from the stepmommy or whatever, mother-in-law.
Yeah, I don't even know. Yeah, mother-in-law, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rex was a mama's boy is what we learn. Like, hardcore mama's boy.
Up until college, like, the only time that she talks about Rex was when he was in high school.
It's super weird. Like, she's, like, insisting on all these weird little details for, like, the funeral and, like, being super aggressive about his, like, prep school days and, like...
Yeah, like, he should wear a tie from his high school, which...
Yeah.
Never bury me in an outfit I wore in high school.
Yeah, no, fuck
what
no.
What the fuck?
Fucking weird.
Weird choice. She also comes for Bree. She talks about her tit size at one point. She's like, your dad loved big tits, so I was surprised when he married Bree.
Yeah.
Like, the tension is evident.
They even talk about, like, what Rex used to, like, masturbate to. It's, his like, weird as fuck.
Bags. And she tries to give them to Andrew, and Andrew's like,
I'm gay. Yeah. He's like, I like me some dick. Like, he's like, I'm not like my dad. Big boobs are not my thing. But
such a weird moment. Then the Reverend comes by. They're trying to write the eulogy.
Mm-hmm.
And Bree, like, obviously has something in mind.
Yeah.
She's like got something in mind about this. And then mom has like all these pieces of paper with these stories from high school that are like irrelevant. And she's like, those were the best days of his life. And she's like, so you're implying that like everything else after was shit. And the Reverend's like trying to keep the peace, but mm-hmm. Bree pops off and she's basically like, you're not fucking invited.
Well, cause she says to Bree, like, you made him miserable. Yeah. Like, she says that at one point. And so Bree's like, fuck you, dude. Like, no. Yeah. Like, what the fuck? No. His mom is just one of those moms that's, like, super jealous that her baby boy found another woman to dote on.
No, it bugs me.
It's bad.
That's not my vibe. Like, if your mother is, like, too much for,
no.
Like,
for real, though.
I don't need another mother, and I don't need somebody making me feel bad.
So. No, my grandma was a little like that with my dad. Like, my dad was the golden baby child, and, like, she was never going to like any women that were part of his life
that
weren't
her.
The
less contact, the better. Like,
yeah.
Like, you're not. Yeah, so.
Bit much.
Yeah, she's being an asshole. After that, like, she's getting ready to leave. Like, mm-hmm. She hears Bree, and Bree doesn't give any fucks. She's like, this is going to be my funeral.
Yeah.
For my husband. The bags are packed, and Andrew comes in hot. He says, Mom, what the hell?
Yeah, he's like, you can't
he's
do
like,
this.
He's like, you're kicking her out. And he's like, she might be a bitch, but she's our bitch. And I'm like, the writers had so much fun. Like, this has so much fun.
Yeah, they did.
I was like, Andrew would never say that. He's coming. And he also has a new haircut. He's looking fresh. Like, I feel like he's really owning himself. He came out a little bit. He's like, starting to get some, like, style. Like, he's picked up some hair gel. Like,
yeah.
He's saying, you know, harsh things, like, she's our bitch, like, edgy. So he's edgy now. And then Danielle is like a wreck in the back. Danielle is like, Mom, how could you do this? And Andrew pauses and he looks back at her and he's like, did I ask you for help?
Yeah. Andrew's like, get the fuck out of here, Danielle.
He's like, I got this. And Bree concedes and lets the mom come to the wedding. And then there's a little scene in there where they interact, where Bree and Danielle go over to the neighbor's house, and there's some sexual tension. The new neighbors with Matthew and the mom, who happens to be a concert pianist.
Mm-hmm.
Random.
Yeah. So they ask her basically if she can, like, play at Rex's funeral.
So weird.
Yeah.
And then Matthew and Danielle have some tension. He's like, my dad passed away too.
And she's then, like,
Yeah. And then, but we hear that's a lie. Like, Matthew just made that up to, like, get at Danielle, I guess.
Yeah.
Or something. But I sense something coming on there. Like, John Roland who?
Yeah,
like,
John Roland who?
She's like, I'm glad I didn't lose my virginity to John Roland. So then they go to the funeral, and Bree has another meltdown about the tie, the orange tie that his mom, like Rex's mom, won't give up. So she demands Tom to give her his tie, and she
that was so good acting on Tom's part, like the genuine like fear and like confusion in his eyes.
I was thinking that Tom is the best actor in this entire series.
Maybe. I think he's probably I would say
he's
like
most talented in my opinion.
Yeah,
she lifts up Rex's lifeless body and reties his tie. So even in death, he can't escape her.
I know.
He can't escape her meticulous ways.
Not her control. No, hell no.
So. Yeah, the key highlights for me were really just Andrew. I was loving his sass. I'm like, put her in her place.
Yeah, he fucking wrecks her.
Like, that hairstyle. He's all, like, getting this titty magazine. He's like, little do you know, grandma. Like,
pretty much the ending is the funeral. So, like, for her story. So it's just basically her being like, you look great when he has the actual tie on. But I think that's when, like, the grief really hits her. Is when she's, like, looking down at him in the tie and she, like...
Yeah.
She realizes, like, oh, shit, this is the last time that, like...
Yeah, that I get to fix his style for him. Because men can't dress themselves.
No.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it is sad, like, the way, like... I think Bree is kind of notorious for that, almost. Like, stuff hits her at weird times.
Yeah.
And I think, like, she comes across cold because of that.
Yeah.
But in reality, like, no, this woman's just so tightly wound. She's trying to keep it fucking together. And she also knows, like, that he thought that she fucking killed him. Like, there's a lot. That would be, like, a mind fuck.
She's, like, came out on top.
Man.
But, yeah, I would be, like, oh, shit. Like, my husband, like, doesn't understand. I did. Oh, yeah, we forgot about George. I forgot that he even existed.
Yeah.
Okay. Flashback. Hope he comes back around. But, yeah, I'd be sad that, like, my husband didn't know the truth. But also.
But, like, low-key, though, we know that George was fucking with his medicine. Yeah. So Brie kind of did kill him in a way.
A bit. Because she was, like, having an emotional affair.
And, like, would not let go of George. Like, would not. For no reason. Finally, I was like, sis, like. You gotta pick. Like, you I'm sorry. Pick,
and Rex is clearly the better option. Well, I don't know if there's a clear. I think she was messing with two guys that both blew. Like, but like, George was just low-key crazy.
Yeah.
It came out when he got his boot on, remember? And he, like, yelled at her, like.
Yeah. No, he is.
That was Pete. Crazy.
I just think, like, honestly, neither of them are that good. Like, I think Rex didn't fulfill her.
Well, he also fucked Macy Gibbons.
Yeah, he was also, like, paying
Let's
for
not
sex.
Forget. Like,
like, not only did he cheat on her, he was paying the woman. And this woman was having sex with, like, like, he could have easily given Bree some shit.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second. Like. She was fucking a lot of people. I don't know, man. Bree forgave him for a lot of crazy shit.
I'm excited for the rise of Bree. I'm excited for her to, like, I think I see her as, like, a swinger. Like,
okay.
I want her to swing a little bit. Like,
okay.
Yes. I want to see the rise and not fall. I just want to see her, like, come into her own. Like, I want to see her, like, drop some acid. I want to see her let loose. Like,
yeah.
But I am excited to see where the storyline goes. I hope the mom doesn't stick around. She wasn't as interesting as Mama Solis.
No.
She was annoying.
Yeah, she was just annoying as fuck.
If anybody has watched The Bachelor in the, like last couple seasons, there was, like, one of the Bachelor's moms, the Bachelor named Peter, his mom was psycho. His mom was, like... I thought that him and his mom were, like, in love. It was creepy as hell.
Some, like, parent-child relationships like that are weird as
concerning.
Fuck.
Concerning. Like, you gotta let it go.
Yeah.
Super weird. So, yeah, if anybody's watched, cross over there. This lady reminded me of Peter's mom.
Mm-hmm.
I think next we can talk about Susan.
Okay.
After the showdown, after she almost shot an innocent old woman just trying to drink her bourbon.
Susan's storyline, I'm torn. On her actions. I don't know. What do you think?
I'm not torn about her terrible outfit. I'm not torn. Tell you something I'm certain about is the tank top. The two tank top action with bedazzled straps. Like, and a
classic.
Bra. And a clear bra.
Look, 2005, crazy time.
Crazy times with, like, jeans with, like, pockets on the thighs. Like, something.
Awful. Like, cargo jeans. Very strange.
what are you torn about?
Her choices in this episode.
Like, that she's, like, supportive of Mike, then not supportive. Then, like, I get it. He's your son. And, like...
I think she did not give Mike an opportunity to even, like, have a conversation about it.
Does she ever?
No, she doesn't. So I guess I shouldn't be surprised.
This storyline is that after the showdown, Susan goes to the hospital because she has a fat lip. And Mike is being weirdly defensive of Zach. He's like, yeah, Susan fell. Like, because the cops are like, did Zach do this to you? And he's like, don't worry about it. And then he takes this cop out in the hallway and is like, yeah, this was really just a domestic dispute. Zach didn't do anything wrong. He's a troubled young boy. Julie overhears this and is like, Mom, like, Mike is not a dreamboat like you think.
Well, because, like, Susan's under the impression that they're going to press charges.
Yeah.
And Mike is like, no. He's like,
nah, no.
No.
He's like, don't got time for that. I've got, like, plumbing to do.
Mike and Susan, all their issues stem from the fact that they just won't sit and fucking talk about stuff.
They, like, don't talk about anything. I don't know what their relationship is based on.
Like, and all of that happened, there wasn't a moment where Mike could be like, look, I understand that what Zach did was bad, but we need to get him help, not just press charge it. Like, sit down and talk to her about it. Or say, that's my kid. Like,
yeah.
I can't just put him in jail. Like, he needs help. Like, so I did something bad. I kidnapped his dad. Yeah. Like, they're acting like Zach is acting crazy for no reason. Like, no, Zach's mom killed herself and his dad disappeared. Like, it's chaotic. His dad
was kidnapped.
Yes.
Like, by Mike. And Mike is, like, not telling anybody that this is his kid for real. And it's like, what do you have to be ashamed of at this point? Like, he's your kid. That's where we left off at the hospital. Julie hears, tells Susan that they're not pressing charges. Like, Mike's not backing her up, which is fucked up. Like, she was held hostage. He's not being very empathetic towards her after a hostage situation. So she finds this out, and then she, like, rolls up to Edie's, like, housing site where they're building the house.
Yeah, where they're still fucking a year later.
Which has changed, like, the site of the house has changed like 20 times. Like, every time I feel like we get a shot of this house of construction, it's like a different place.
Yeah.
Not in the construction process, like on the lane. Like, so we're wherever her house is at this point. Edie is also wearing an atrocious all yellow outfit. Edie is turned on by the hostage situation. She's like, did he rough you up? Did he, like, pistol whip you? Like, what happened? And Susan's like, it wasn't like that. Yeah. Where the fuck is Mike? She goes and confronts Mike, and Mike is like, yeah, I didn't really defend you. I don't want to press charges. Like, he's a troubled kid. And then he gets a call, and it's a call for the police station, and they're like, Zach is dead. And you're like,
yeah. You're, it was like, oh shit.
You're like, what? You, like, play it back. You're like, what?
Yeah.
Zach is dead. So then they roll up to the morgue. Susan goes with him because she's feeling empathetic at this point. But
she doesn't know that Zach's his kid yet.
Yeah, she doesn't know. So she's like, I think Susan wants to go to see him dead.
Yeah, she's like, I want to see that dead body and fucking.
She held me hostage and it was not hot.
Yeah.
It wasn't role play. So they go and it's some other dude, which, like, who was that kid? And Mike is, like, torn up. He's, like, crying, and Susan is putting the pieces together. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh.
Yeah. Mike is a daddy.
Yeah, he's not just a sexy one.
Yeah.
Yeah, because also at the site before the call, he talks about how Mary Alice Young killed Deidre. Like, so Susan's putting things together now.
Mm-hmm.
And then Susan is like, wait, your dad? And then she's like, I'm going to take a cab home. Thanks for nothing. Something like that. She basically dips. She can't handle it. And she's upset too. And they're both upset about different things. Then we catch up. Susan is hanging around Mike's porch.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes up. He's like, what's up, babe? And she's upset again. And she's like, look, like, I get that you need to be a dad, but I can't be around Zach Young. So this has been great for both of us, but I gotta go. We can't be together. We can't move in. It's much more emotional than that, but that's the gist.
Yeah, essentially she's saying, like, she needs to protect Julie, and I get that, but I'm also, yeah, like, okay, but, like, look at the situation. Like, now that Zach, maybe we'll get some clarity on his life, like, he can get help. Like, I don't know what she's thinking.
Okay, I think that if she can be so empathetic, quote unquote, towards Mike for a bunch of different situations, she could be more empathetic towards Zach and, like, want him to get help.
Well, she's not,
and,
like, trying to fuck Zach.
Okay, if she loves Mike enough, though, I think you would do anything to, like, be in his life and figure out a situation that works. I feel like she just Hail Married it and was like, bye. Sorry, this won't work out.
Yeah, no, it was very strange to me. And I was like, if you're trying to get him to like pick you over this like son he's realizing he has, then you're like an idiot. Because I don't know. I'm just like, Susan, like put yourself in his shoes. Like, I think she didn't even bother to like, okay, let's pretend like Zach never ran away and they have Zach there. Like maybe Zach wants nothing to do with Mike. You know, like she's making a lot of assumptions without giving anybody a chance to even sort out the mess. Like it's like, Susan, like you're just creating more drama. Classic Susan, creating more drama for yourself.
It's like that guy she went on a date with said. He's like, you like the drama.
She does.
She likes the dramas. I just don't think there was any compromise. There was no conversation. It was like, well, what do you want? Like, what do you want? Nothing like that. It was mm-hmm. just like, okay, boy, bye, because this isn't working out for me. And I'm like, okay, pretty dramatic, I'd have to say. Like,
well, it's just like I said, not even giving the situation a chance to sort itself out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, if you want to be like that, then you can go ahead and be like that.
Just be like that. I think I'm interested to see what happens. That's pretty much where it ends up, if I mm-hmm. remember correctly. We're on a bit of a cliffhanger yet again with Mike and Susan. Will they, won't they?
Yeah.
I think I'm tired. It was cute the first couple times.
I think this is one of the weaker points of, like, why season two is frustrating. Because it's, like...
there's, like, nothing fresh between them. I feel
well,
like...
well, it's such a convoluted, like, reason for them to not be together. Like we said, a simple conversation with an open mind could solve this problem. But they just, like, can't communicate for some reason.
We're, like, marriage therapists. I'm over here, like, sucking fingers. Yeah. I'm like, they don't communicate. I, like, have no grounds to be judging this.
No, stop it. No, I just think, like, I'm fine with will they, won't they drama, but make it a little weirder. You know what I mean? Like, don't be, like, boring about it. Like, this is boring
this is
to me.
Boring as shit.
And, like I said, there's so many holes in this reasoning that it just doesn't, like, fine, I guess Susan's a fucking moron. Like, go find someone else, Mike. Like,
boring, Susan. Like, it is. It's boring as hell.
And I'm like, now you're going to choose to be a good mom?
Yeah, okay, yeah. We could get into loads of reasons.
Yeah.
Susan, pull it the fuck together. She's been a bad mom time and again.
All the time.
So interested to see what Mike's going to do. Mike, you deserve better. Lynette, I don't know if it was boring. It was just typical, like, mom. Typical, we didn't forget, you guys, Lynette is a mom. We'll never forget. They'll never let us.
No, they won't.
So she looks professional AF. So I'm assuming she's going to work. This is how we start out. And she's berating Tom about just, like, his parenting. He's letting the kids finger paint. She's like, why would you do that? And he's like, I'm the parent now that stays home, so that's why. And he's like, Lynette, you're going to kill... He's still being, like, hubby number one. He's still, like, supporting her because she's all, like, nervous about this interview. He's like, why are you nervous, babe? You got this. And... she's like, because I haven't worked in 7 years and like I've just been a mom and like this and that. He's like trying to hype her up, and then they kiss, and I am still sitting here like, how did he not leave her? Still wondering.
Yeah.
Still the question even after this intro scene. I'm like, I don't know how they resolved that situation of losing your job, of your significant other helping you get fired, basically.
Yeah.
But whatever. Lynette goes to this interview, and it seems like she's unconfident for the first time in forever. And this lady, Nina, is being kind of a dick to her about her employment gap. She's like, what were you doing? Mm-hmm. And she's like, I was a mom. And she's like, boy or girl. And Lynette's like, I got like a boatload of kids. And her husband's staying home. She explains this. And this lady's like, I couldn't do both jobs justice. So I like chose not to have kids. And it's like shaming her for being a mom. And I'm like, all right, whatever.
And part of me is like, that woman's probably been shamed her whole life for not having kids. So I'm like, yeah. I'll give it to her because I'm like, you know.
Yeah. And I feel like this lady, Nina, like her tits are out with like a lacy bra. Like she's looking a little bit scandalous for the office.
She totally is.
So corporate sexy going on. Lynette then gets like a second interview about the day of her second interview. Tom is on the floor. He pulled his back out. And this is where I noted that he might have the best acting ever. His acting in that scene was kind of crazy believable. His face was red as shit. Like, he looked in so much pain. I was like, dang, Tom's a good actor.
Well, now that you say, like, since you've said that you think he's, like, the best actor on the lane, like, I'm thinking about it, and I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think he really sells the shit out of, like,
being his dad. Yeah. Like, a goober dad. Like,
spoiler alert, but not really. Tom's, like, more present in the show now.
Yeah.
So, like, after the first season, he became, like, a starring cast member.
Oh,
essentially good. Replacing Rex's billing.
Yeah.
So, like, we're going to see a lot more Tom going forward, which I like because I love... I think Tom and Lynette have the most, like, interesting scenes together.
Yeah.
Even when I hate one of their choices, I, like, find it very interesting. So, yeah, like, he was excellent in that scene where, like, I believe that the actor...
Yeah, it was crazy.
I'm like, did he actually throw out his back and they wrote this into the show?
He's on the floor and Lynette is just murdering his feet. Like, she lifts up his legs and is, like, pushing them in. Like, I can't even... No, if I have thrown my back out, don't touch me. Lynette is manhandling him.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. She's like, is that better? And, like, she tries to guilt him. I wanted a couple more guilt reasons. She's like, remember when I had 104 degree temperature and I took the kids trick-or-treating while you were in Tucson? Like, I wanted a couple more stories, but mm-hmm. It was just that one. And either way, she's like, fuck it. She grabs Penny and dips because she's like, you can't take care of Penny today.
My brain's like, there must have been a neighbor home. I'm like, someone.
I was like, you guys were that ill-prepared for an emergency like this?
Yeah.
Like, something very important. Like, you don't have backup ready?
Yeah,
she couldn't run over to Bree? Like, I don't know. I guess.
Apparently not.
So she goes to the interview, and Lynette is stupid.
Yes.
She drops the baby off with the front desk guy, Stu.
Yeah.
Who's, like, eating a sandwich and, like, looks unpredictable.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, where was Mrs. McCluskey?
I know.
Why wasn't she around?
Yes. So that happens. She leaves the baby at the front desk. Like, these people weren't going to know.
Mm-hmm.
And then she tries to do the interview and is, like, failing. And this dude is like, I got Celtics tickets. Gotta go. Like, make it quick. Which is also so rude.
Yeah, that was insane.
And she's like, fucking up this interview, and this guy's like, whatever, I gotta go. And he gets up mid-interview and she's like, hold on. And she goes and grabs the baby, and like, she's like, if you're not gonna listen to me, then I'll multitask. And she like changes a diaper while like screaming at them about like advertising stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. And Nina looks annoyed. The Celtics guy that was rude is like, you're hired.
Yeah, their boss. Like, yeah. This random guy.
This dude with a briefcase. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's that, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, not, like, it was truly interesting, I guess. It was...
I think it's setting us up for some good stuff, but...
Hopefully. Like, nice to meet you, Nina.
Yeah.
Stu, all right. I hope he comes back around. He was, like, flirting with another girl there, so that was kind of funny. Lynette has, yet again, a throwaway storyline, so...
Yet again? Oh, man.
Predictable.
Brutal.
And last but not least, my favorite, and I'll tell you why it's my motherfucking favorite.
Okay.
Gabby, and it's my favorite just for this one reason.
Okay.
Gabby is showering and puts on her tiny towel around her tiny body,
mm-hmm.
and like looks to see rose petals just leading out of her bathroom. It leads to the bed, and John Roland is just like laying there. Like, I was like, is this a dream? Like, is this for real?
Yeah.
And he's like, what's up, baby? And that is like one of the main reasons it's my favorite. I thought this was the craziest intro to one of the storylines after he ruined her entire life last season.
I just like, he's delusional. Like, he's delusional. I have no other words. Like, what the fuck?
He's like, this isn't this, like, now that he says, now that Carlos is gone, we can all three be together. And she's like, what?
He's the man who also had like a temper tantrum when he found out she was pregnant.
Yeah. He proposed to her randomly at one point. No, this guy is out of control.
Out of control.
As we say about most men, these men are out of control.
100% out of control.
So
awful.
I just was like, so it was so uncanny, like so shocked. Like, I just loved it. It was so great. That is one of the reasons it's my favorite. There's another reason that this is my favorite storyline. It's because Gabby tries to go get, like, she says, I need to like go take a pregnancy test. She's like, I need like a paternity test.
Yeah.
She goes to the clinic and this lady's like, I'll schedule you an appointment. And she goes, no, I just like need the test. And I was like, yeah, this is everything.
She's like, so fucking funny.
So her whole storyline is that Carlos is in jail and he's like stonewalling her. She goes to visit and he won't talk to her, rightfully so.
Yeah, no, I'd be fucking pissed.
I don't think he should just be talking to her through a divorce lawyer at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You fucked it on, you're a criminal. You fucked a 16-year-old.
Yeah, you're a fucking rapist.
That I hired and was, like, broing out with, giving him beers or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, so he shouldn't even be talking to her, but she keeps going to visit him. He's stonewalling her, and she's like, what's going to make a difference? And he's like, a paternity test. So that's what leads her to the clinic, where she kind of talks down to this girl that has, like, dyed hair and piercings. And she's like, you look like you've had some situations in your day. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Gabby sometimes says shit like that. I'm like, you're insane. Like, this is not how you get what you want, yeah. But okay.
And then she also sweet talks some other lady and, like, steals her paternity test. That's how she gets the piece of paper. There's some lady crying there. And she's like, I got an egg from some other lady. Like, I don't know what the story is. Some sob story. And she takes the paternity test from that lady and then uses Photoshop to fix it, mm-hmm. which I don't even know what a paternity test looks like.
I don't even think she could get a paternity test without Carlos's DNA being a part of it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Carlos is stupid, because then she brings the paper back to him and she's like, look, see it here. And then he's like, all I asked for was fidelity. And she's like, well, I asked to not be a mother. And he's like, well, that's not worse. Like, he basically tried to make a case for getting her pregnant. Like,
they're both bad people. Let's just start with that.
I do have to say that his is worse. Like, you literally messed with her health and her birth control and her prescriptions. It's worse.
I almost feel like that's karma, that she was fucking somebody else when you did that shit.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know, don't be coming for her. Like,
yeah, it's fucked up that the baby might not be hers, but it's fucked up that she's pregnant to begin with.
Yeah, this wouldn't have even been an issue if you hadn't fucked with her birth control.
Like, in my mind, they're both rapists. In that sense.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think to, like, impregnate someone when they don't know that the risk level has been changed is 100. Because she would not have agreed to unprotected sex with him.
Yeah.
So that's rape. So it's like, and she was fucking sexually assaulting an underage kid. Like, they're both fucking sexual monsters. Like, what the fuck is happening?
I never thought of it that way, but I love that you have put it together for me. Because I'm like, you're literally opening my mind.
They're right now. Both bad people, like, so bad. And Carlos's badness just got kind of slightly usurped by hers, because John Roland was fucking 16, not even 17, 16 when they started hooking up.
He just got his license. Like,
boys that are 16, some of them look like they're 12 and some of them look like they're 20. It's a bizarre age.
It's not okay.
It's weird.
It needs to stop.
No.
Ew. Yeah, I don't even actually know. I'm like, what even happened? That was kind of
it. That was pretty much it. Because basically she thinks that by passing off the test to Carlos, that'll, like, make him want to try. But he's, like, still, like, no, like, if anything, basically, like, I'll take care of that baby. But, like, I don't want anything to do with you.
Yeah, they kind of have a moment where they're like, when we got married, I thought we'd be so happy. And then she's like, on the bright side, we're still rich. And I'm like, okay, I guess you guys are thinking alike there. But yeah, that's the end of that storyline. It has to be my favorite. Like, I just enjoyed it was pretty funny. I think those are funny that you, first of all, John Roland is still like, why don't you love me?
Which he kind of was flip-flopping last season, so I was, like, a little surprised that they had him, like, going insane this episode.
Yeah, that was, okay. You like, get out of the shower. There's a like, row of rose petals leading you somewhere to the bed, and you find your ex-boyfriend there. Like, what are you doing?
I would fucking call the police.
I would call the police.
I'd be like, get out of my house, you intruder.
Like, are you okay? Like, what the fuck?
Like, am I about to get murdered if I, like, don't have sex with you right now? Because that's
and he's in his boxers. Yes, he's, like, naked on the bed. Like, and yeah. He's like, hey, baby. He has a mimosa for you. It's, like, a little bit non-threatening, but, like, so threatening.
Yes, that's scary. That kind of shit is scary. I think, like, I don't know. Like, I will say that I like the Carlos Gabby direction this season, because I think last season got a little repetitive, where it was like, is he going to find out about John? Is he going to find out about John?
And, like, Gabby is, like, running all around town to, like, prevent it. Yeah. That was her whole thing.
So I do think, like, this storyline is a good kicker or kickoff for, like, what's to come. It's more interesting. I'm like, I think it's more interesting than navigating all of the bullshit they did to each other. It's like, last season was them, like, doing horrible things, and then this season, like, starts out, like, with this moment of them, like, now having to reconcile with, like, all the shit they did to each other.
Yeah, it's definitely, I'm excited for where we go. I'm excited to see more John Roland. I was a bit worried that he wouldn't come back at all for a minute. So I like that he's still doing his crazy behavior.
I just feel like from this first episode, we're getting basically all of them are like kind of having to reconcile the bad decisions they made last season.
It always happens like that.
Like it all came to a head. Like Bree's bullshit with George got her husband killed.
Yeah.
Like Lynette now is getting her, you know, she's wanted to go back to work this whole time, hated staying at home. Okay, sis, now here's your chance.
Okay, sis, you really like work?
Yeah.
Really?
Have fun.
Yeah.
And like now you're not going to be home all day, so you're not in charge of everything that happens to your kids. Like Lynette has like such a control complex that like, you know, like this is an interesting direction to take her out of like the day to day, like mothering.
Yeah. I want to see Lynette, like, first of all, pop off on somebody. I want to see somebody at the office hit on her. I want to see how she deals with other men like showing affection towards her.
Okay. It's funny because like Lynette and Tom have some of the best and like the most stupid stories, I feel like.
Yes. Well, that brings us to the end of our episode. I do think there was a Mary Alice Young VO. So 1 year since my suicide. I love that Mary Alice is like, so this is about me.
Yeah, she's like, it's always about me.
A lot has changed. New flowers, new houses, new neighbors. This is reading like a rap right now. These are some bars.
Yeah.
The kind anyone would want living next door. That's like all she says. But oh, we forgot about this. Mrs. Applewhite and Matthew. The Applewhites.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, weird scene. I'm really loving this mystery so far because it's giving me, like, sex slave vibes.
We're like, yes, that's what the show needs.
I'm like, some SGU crossover. Mrs. Applewhite is playing the piano, and Matthew's there with a tray of food. They also seem to have a weird, like, incestuous relationship together. Like, Matthew and Mrs. Applewhite are too, like, close, it seems to me. And she's like, he's like, I make up this tray every night. And he's like, what's up with the flower? Or she says, what's up with the flower? And he says, thought it would be nice. And she's like, how did I get so lucky to have a son like you, while she's casually killing it on the piano? And then she says, I'll get the tray. You get the gun. And they go downstairs. And I said, in my notes, I said, bury SVU.
Yes. No, it's funny. Now that you say all that, I'm like, oh, shit.
They go into the basement and they give someone food. And I said, it looks like a feminine hand grabbing it. This tray. And
yeah.
So that's where we end up.
So that happened. I'm very excited for you to find out what the fuck's going on.
I'm so excited. I can't express it. This is my shit.
This is going to be, yeah, I'm excited. There's so many things in this season that I can't wait to get to. And I'm just like, oh man, you have no idea. You just have no idea.
I'm fucking jazzed. Oh, fuck. So this brings us to our fuck, marry, kill, which I've been, like, missing in my life.
I know.
I feel like I played it all weekend on my trip to San Diego. I'm going to kill Stu.
Okay.
I think that was crucial. You literally left a baby crying on a table that could have fallen off and hit her head like I hit my cat's head earlier.
Yeah.
Stu, you can die for neglecting a child that a stranger gave to you for her. Like, I guess that's not your fault, but, like, whatever. You could have been more responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Stu. I'm going to fuck Mike because he's giving me real daddy vibes about how much he cared about Zach. I really liked a beat up torn up. Like, if Susan's leaving him, I'll sweep right in right now.
Okay.
This is when I like Mike. He's being caring. I like that he's stepping in for a troubled young man. And then Mary. This is a hard one. I'd marry Bree because I know that she'd have my funeral in order.
Okay.
Actually, no. I'm going to marry Andrew because he had ultimate sass this episode.
He did.
And I want to, like, have that sassy, like, banter with him all the time.
Okay.
That would be my Mary. Like, we could just hang forever and have a good time, like, being sassy girls. So, marry Andrew, fuck Mike, kill Stu.
Damn, okay. Oof. I'm like, shit, who do I want to fuck, marry, kill? This episode's tough for me.
There wasn't, like, a lot happening.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, sexiness. Or, like, marriageability. Like, what is the word?
I think I'm going to marry Tom because I would like to have a stay-at-home husband.
Oof,
if I had kids.
Would. I like that.
And I think he'd be, I think, like, Tom is the personality who would be great at being a stay-at-home dad. And I'm not going to confirm nor deny if he is actually in the show, but just based on what we know about him, I would say my assumption is that he is.
He, like, the kids would have a blast. Like, those kids,
he's
have
a fun dad.
The bombest childhood. They're, yeah, like, me and dad hung out all the time. Like, they're not like, I don't know my dad.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, me and dad had all these great memories.
Tom, like, seems like the kind of dad, like, you could talk to about things.
Yeah.
Like, if you're having a hard, like, whether you're his son or daughter, like, you can go to him for stuff.
Yeah.
Because he seems like not, like, he's not the kind of dad that's going to be like, all right, what boy hurt you? Let me go shoot him in the head or whatever.
Yeah, like, weird.
Yeah.
Like, protective.
But he just seems like the kind of guy that would, like, talk to you.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think I'd marry Tom. I would want him to be my stay-at-home hubby.
Decision.
And then I think I would also fuck Mike for the same reasons. Those were good reasons.
Daddy vibes.
Yeah. He's a little, like,
Mike, if Susan's leaving, yeah.
He's right a bit here of a wild card, too, which is, like, attractive.
Yeah.
So I think I like that. Kill. There's, like, a few people I would kill this episode. Part of me wants to kill either Gabby or Carlos just because they're both so awful, but I want to see how they would resolve this. So my brain's like,
no. You're like John Roland, take out the third.
Maybe, because John at this point,
John is doing some
he's inconsistent,
concerning. Like,
he's super inconsistent. He's fucking aggressive, like, psycho stalker weirdo.
Yeah,
like, he's delusional if he thinks that Gabby would want him to move.
Yeah,
in.
It's a bit delusional.
Like, he's crazy. So I'm like, you know what, I'm just gonna kill him, and then Gabby can figure everything out on her own, because he's fucking annoying me. So I would either kill him or I would kill Susan.
Okay.
Because Susan was just like, Susan, get over annoying yourself. Like, she was just like being so fucking annoying.
She's like, me and my daughter are the most important ever.
Yeah. And, like, I don't know. I feel like she's just being really judgmental about a situation she didn't even take the time to, like, understand.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we don't need that. No one needs that in their life. Get out of here. And she was wearing an ugly ass outfit, so I wouldn't fuck her.
She strolled all around town in that horrible outfit.
So bad.
And nobody had the.
That was that weird period where, like, brown and light blue was, like, the thing.
It was weird. It was like, yeah, I don't know that I said the colors, but they were brown and blue. Like, it was bad.
Like, that was a weird color
with, like,
combo.
Jewels on the-
Yeah, we're gonna. Okay, I'm gonna post a photo of this outfit because. Not
like fit inspo's Friday of, like, what not to do,
because it was so fucking bonkers.
It was,
like,
fucking banana.
No, not okay, not okay. But yeah, so that's why fuck Mary Kill.
Okay, I love it. Housewife of the week.
Damn, none of them.
We have a criteria. One of them is that they lied in order to get something that they wanted, and I'd have to say Gabby gets housewife of the week because she faked a paternity test without ever getting DNA samples, and nobody questioned her.
I think I would give it to Gabby, too. I don't love what she did with her power.
I don't love that she did that, but it was also incredible and impressive.
I agree.
You know, like, yeah, like, nobody was like, you didn't even get my DNA.
I know, Carlos was just like,
Carlos, like, K.
Fucking idiot.
He said he literally responded K, period.
Yeah. No, he's weird as fuck. Like, yeah, stupid. He's stupid.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
He's so stupid. Like, that's. I. Oh,
you
man.
You are the father.
Yes.
Like, so. That's where we're at with the Housewife of the Week. Gabby gets the initial one of season two, and I love this for her because she's come very far.
Yeah.
And then we have our Apple rating. Are you...
I'm ready.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 3.75.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say 3.5.
Okay.
Okay, 3.5. That was a little lower than you.
That's okay. Well, we're in the three range.
Yeah, so we're close
enough. That's a pretty bad episode for us.
It was just kind of boring for, like, a premiere. Like, I really thought they would at least, like, off to the races, like, you know.
I actually didn't really need a scene of Zach escaping. I didn't need to actually see what happened. I would have actually kind of just liked to cue in at the hospital and, like, a replay. Like,
it's hard because I think Bree's storyline and Gabby's storyline benefited from the fact that the episode took place directly after. I think Lynette's storyline and Susan's storyline did not benefit from that.
Yeah.
And so I think, like, they kind of had to pick a direction to go with that, and that's fine. But it was just, like, because they chose to have the episode take place on such a short window of time, like, there just wasn't a lot that even could happen.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I just found it very, like, it set up a lot, but also kind of didn't. like Bree's storyline, there's no direction. Like, it could go any direction right now.
Yeah, I'm like, let's just talk about Andrew again. Like, let's stop talking about Bree. Well, yeah, she could find somebody new, but it didn't set her up for that.
They didn't they didn't have George in the episode. Nothing. Like, I'm like, okay, so where, like, if I was watching this for the first time, I'd be like, I genuinely don't really know what direction they're trying to take this in, other than her kids are probably going to be pissed at her. Like, that's all I could even... Or like, that the mother-in-law is going to be around.
Maybe, or something. Like.
Yeah. And then, like, Lynette's story kind of set stuff up.
Like, Nina is going to be a bitch for sure. Like, we know that.
Susan's was just, like, fucking frustrating. I was just like, you're just being crazy. So I kind of just, like, they did set up the will they won't they to continue. So I guess that's part of it. But... I don't know. Gabby's storyline was the only one where I was like, I'm excited to see what happens next. The rest of them, I was kind of like, okay.
You're like, I
like this is a little.
Okay.
I want more. Like, give me a little bit more.
Just a bit. Like, yeah, for me, I gave it a 3.75 because I felt like they tried to be funny in some of them and it just like wasn't hitting in the way that like Gabby's was for me. I think like, Susan and Mike, yeah, there's some depth there. I think Andrew was redeeming on Bree's storyline. Lynette, okay, we set some stuff up. I just didn't think anything, like, really resonated. Personally, I don't think anything hit. And, like,
yeah,
I think, yeah. So, for me, it was a bit of a letdown for an opener.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted, like, because the series premiere was, like, so enthralling.
Like, yeah, not to be, like, annoying, but it started off with a bang.
I'm like, nothing will ever be as good as
that. But it started out with a bang in a literal sense. But like, this episode, it just felt like there wasn't that like hook. That like,
yeah,
like even the main mystery, I'm like, I guess I want to know who's in the basement.
Yeah, and I keep forgetting about the main mystery. Like, even though I'm jazzed about it, I keep forgetting about it. Like, we almost didn't cover it. We forgot.
Well, and I think part of the problem with this mystery is they didn't. It almost feels like the mystery is like a different show because like the characters we've never met, the housewives don't know them. So they don't really give a fuck about if anything weird. Edie's really the only one that's like, oh, you guys moved it in the middle of the night. That's weird.
Yeah. But Edie like sold them the house and she was like weirdos.
But like that was it. Like it's like there's no like with Mary Alice, these were her friends. So like they care about what's happening. And like by the end of the episode we had, oh, it was blackmail, you know, in that first episode. Whereas with this one, it's like, I don't really care about the Applewhites. Like, set them up first before you even, I don't know. Like, we just didn't get enough time with them. And, like, the characters don't know them. We don't know them. Mary Alice doesn't know them. So, like, what do, like, I feel like it's so disjointed.
Yeah. It's throwing me for a loop. Like, if this were the only episode of Desperate Housewives I ever watched, I'd be like, and?
Yeah.
I'd be like, don't really care what happens next. Like.
And like I said, what sucks is this season has, like, some really cool like great storylines, so that's why I'm like, dang, it sucks that like I, you know, that's how not memorable this episode is though. Like, I did not remember how this season started off. Damn. And then I watched it and I was like, damn,
you're like, really? Oh, okay.
I was like, okay. Because like shit gets pretty dark. Like shit gets dark this season. I think Bree has one of the most insane storylines I've ever seen.
Are you being for real? Okay. It's also spooky season, you guys.
Yeah.
This is really exciting.
No, but it's like some of the stuff that happens, I'm almost like, dang, they took it there.
Okay, like, that's what we need though. Yeah. That's what I want.
So that's why I'm like, this episode's so tame. And weird, sucks. Because I'm like, oh no, they like go to some weird places this
3.75 out of 5 stars. That's like
for a premiere,
a La Quinta in Sacramento or something.
Like, it was just like I don't know. I was just like, damn, like I really wanted this to like, I don't even care. Like, give me an episode, fine. I like people criticize like setup episodes. I'm like, I almost wish this was that though, because then at least could've there's something to look forward to.
Yeah. Well, let us know what you guys think as we kick off.
And if you guys have seen the show, without spoilers, give us like your ranking of the seasons.
Yeah.
Like message us with that, because I'm curious to see if I'm the only one. Like, I know that the season was criticized, but like I'm just curious like from a fan standpoint, like where people are at.
Yeah.
Because like, I don't know. But who knows? Like maybe I'll like, it's been a long time since I've watched this season.
Maybe you'll fall in love with it again.
Maybe I will. But I just know that in the past, when I've, like, binged through the show, I typically, like, pay less attention during this season.
Yeah. Dang. Okay. Well.
But there are, like I said, though, there's, like, some good stuff.
You're like, do you have notes? Give us your feedback, your rating of seasons. Just contact us. We have an email, website, Instagram. We have it all.
We do.
All, you guys. But also, we drop every Monday, so you can catch us here next Monday doing season 2, episode 2. And other than that, we hope that you take some time to review us if you'd like. Apple Music, follow us on Spotify, do all the things. And we're just happy to be back here for season 2.
I know.
Like, ooh, we're getting rolling again. It's like the rust is, you know, being wiped away.
Yeah.
We're loosening up. So we hope you join us for the rest of the season. We're very excited.
Yes, ma'am.
And the advice still stands to know your neighbors.
Know your neighbors.